You might be too busy if your husband and children go on vacation without you and you are happy. You might be too busy if you've already put in 8 hours before you've taken your shower. You might be too busy if there are so many things to do that you can't decide which to start, so you sit and stare at Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest. You might be too busy if you realize you haven't done laundry, so you just wear two different socks under your boots, hoping no one will notice. Anyone confess this morning that that's you? You might be too busy if you forget to eat lunch, even after several people remind you. You might be too busy if you rush to brush your teeth and realize that instead of using Crest, you used Preparation H. Yuck. It's no secret that we, as Americans, live at a very busy and frenetic pace. From work demands to being a parent, children's activities, church ministry, volunteering in the community, and on the list goes. We are involved in so many things that so often our schedules get quite filled up to the point when anyone asks us, "How are you doing?" Our typical response is, "I'm busy. I'm busy." I heard a story about a lady who came to America from another country, and she started introducing herself as busy. She'd say, "Hello, I'm busy." And she started to do that because she noticed that when Americans introduce themselves to one another, that's what they often say. They say, "Hello, I'm so-and-so, and I'm busy." She thought, "Well, I should do the same thing. This might be a cultural phenomenon." And maybe it is. Maybe it is. Why are we so busy? Why are we so busy? Maybe some of the reasons why we are so busy is that because of the opportunities we have. What's amazing about being so busy is that oftentimes we are busy because of something that we do to ourselves. We choose to be busy. Now, there's a few of us that maybe that's not the case. That actually you're in a situation in life where you've got to work two jobs just to get enough food and on the table and to have a roof over your head. And you're busy because you have to. And maybe that's just where you are, the season of life where you are. But for many of us, that's not the case. We are busy not because we have to be, but because we choose to be. And why do we choose to be busy? Well, because we can. We can. As I mentioned, there are so many different opportunities that are just at our fingertips. So many things that we can do because of technology and because of just the globalization that we live in our world. We have so many opportunities, from going on mission trips to having pedicures, from learning how to play soccer to playing lacrosse, from learning how to be in the ballet to opera, from all of these different things, opportunities that come our way, and we just choose to do them. We can't help ourselves. We choose to do them, and we become busy. A couple weeks ago in the Star-Telegram, they had a section in the newspaper that had all the different activities that you could do this summer with your children for fun. And so I took that section and started looking through it, and a part of that section had camps, summer camps that your children can enroll in. And I'm telling you, they have camps for everything these days. Did you know that? I mean, you name it, there's a camp for it. We have camps for basketball and baseball and soccer and football. Those are all the normal sports, right? But there's camps for art. There's camps for writing. There's camps for speaking. There's camps for acting. There's camps for learning another language. All kinds of different camps. And we see these camps, and we want to sign our kids up for those camps, and we put them in as many camps as we can, which makes for a very busy summer. And the question that I want us to think through this morning is that really the life that God calls us to? Does God really call us to a life where we are constantly busy, moving from activity to activity to activity, living at this frenetic, hurried pace? One of the downsides of being busy is that often when you're busy, you become impatient. Ed Halliwell noticed this. He wrote a book several years ago on busyness. And he noticed that this very characteristic of being impatient was starting to develop into his life because of his busy lifestyle. And he noticed it when he was on vacation. He went on vacation and he stayed in a cabin out in the middle of nowhere. And because of where it was located, they had no cell phone service. And so the only way that he could communicate with someone was with a rotary phone. Now, some of you probably don't even know what a rotary phone is. Let me explain it to you. A rotary phone is a circular kind of phone that when you want to dial the phone number, you start with the first digit in the phone number and you put your finger in the little circle next to that number and you rotate the phone, and then it goes back to the beginning. And you do that with the second number, and you rotate it, it goes back to the end. Third number, rotate it back, all the way till you get through all the phone number digits, and then it makes the call. Well, Ed Hallowell was doing this. He was using this rotary phone to make this phone call in this cabin, and he was getting so frustrated because it was taking forever. Got to wait for that rotary to come back to the beginning. You know, after all, when we have our cell phones, we just punch in the number, and boom, the call makes. Or we don't even have to do that. We go to voice commands and we just say, call mom, and it calls mom. But this rotary phone was taking forever, and he was getting so frustrated at how slow this was taking, and then he stopped himself. Hang on. What am I doing? He timed himself on how long it took him to make a phone call on a rotary phone. You know how long it took him? 11 seconds. 11 seconds. And he was getting impatient because he was used to, and we are too, living in a very busy lifestyle where we move from one thing to another, where we text somebody and expect a response immediately. We don't have time for 11 seconds. When we have to wait 11 seconds, we get impatient. That's what happens when you're busy. You become impatient. And when you're impatient, you get irritable. I've learned that when I am busy, when I've got a lot on my plate, when I'm just filled up to the brim, I am not a very good friend. I start viewing people as nuisances. I start thinking that conversations that are going on a little bit longer than I think they should are annoying. I start thinking that the distractions, interruptions to my day are distracting me from what I'm trying to do, because I've got lists that I've got to finish. I've got projects that I've got to do. I've got things that I've got to accomplish. I don't have time to be a good friend. That's what happens when you get busy. And again, the question, is that really the life that God has called us to? Has he really called us to a life where we're moving from one thing to another, or where we become irritable and impatient, and where we're not a very good friend? Maybe the worst part about being busy is that sometimes we can let a busy lifestyle and a frenetic pace to crowd out our spiritual walk with God, to cause us to lose our focus on God because we just got so many other things going on in our life. How many times have you neglected to read your Bible because, well, I just got too much to do today? How many times have we decided not to attend one of the assemblies of the church because I got these other pressing obligations that I need to be at? Are they really that important? How many times have we neglected to help someone in need or to love our neighbor, as Jesus told us is the greatest commandment, because I've got things on my to-do list that I've got to get done? Martin Luther said, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. I think he's right, don't you? See, this is the problem with this busy, frenetic pace, is that it causes us to lose sight of our focus of following and serving our God. And I'm convinced that in Scripture, God calls us to a different lifestyle. He doesn't call us to live this hurried, busy pace where we don't have time for one another. He calls us to a different lifestyle that I would call a rhythm. A rhythm. This rhythm started at the very beginning in creation. God initiated this rhythm when he created the world in 6 days. He worked for 6 days to create everything that we know and that we see and hear and experience. And then on the seventh day, he rested. He worked 6 days, and then he rested. He created a rhythm, work, and then rest. When he created his people, the people of Israel, he initiated in those people this rhythm. He took them to Mount Sinai and he gave them the Ten Commandments. And the fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. He says, I want you to live into this rhythm. I want you to work hard for 6 days, but the seventh day you're to stop, you're to rest. You're to have this rhythm of work and then rest, work and then rest. And he said, this isn't just for you, it's for your slaves, it's for your animals, it's even for your land, God says. Work your land, cultivate the land for 6 years, but the seventh year, let the land lie fallow. Don't cultivate at all. Let it rest. Let it rest. Live into this rhythm of work and then rest, work and then rest. You see, God understood from the beginning of time, God understood that too much work is bad for us. Did you know that? That is incredibly counterculture, what I just said, that too much work is bad for us and bad for the world. Because who are the people in our world that we celebrate and applaud? It's the people who work hard, long, and don't want to quit. If there's one addiction in our society or culture that we approve of and that we even celebrate, it is work addiction. Who are the ones we celebrate? The ones that come in early and leave late. Who are the ones we give awards to? It's the ones who work hard at their job and spend overtime working at their job, who volunteer in their community, who sit on local boards for local nonprofit organizations, who live such a busy, frenetic pace of a life. Those are the ones that we celebrate and give awards to and applaud. When was the last time that someone was given an award because, you know what, every day they leave home early to go spend time with their kids? We need to have an award for that. But God says, that's not the way I want you to live. I want you to live into a rhythm of work, rest, work, rest. And what's amazing to me about this whole rhythm thing is that Jesus did it. If there ever was someone who deserved to be busy, it was Jesus, right? I mean, he had the power by the Spirit of God to heal the sick, to cause the lame to walk, to raise the dead, to cause the blind to see. I mean, sometimes we get a Messiah complex. He was the Messiah. He should have been the one working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, nonstop, never quitting. And yet what's interesting about that is that Jesus lived into this rhythm. A great example of this is in Mark chapter 1, where Jesus has this really long day of ministry. He goes to the synagogue and he preaches in the synagogue. While in the synagogue, he casts out a demon of someone who has an evil spirit. Then after that, he goes to Peter's house and heals Peter's mother-in-law who has a fever. Then after that, it says that sick people come from the town and they bring their relatives and who have illnesses, and he heals all of them. I mean, it's a really long, productive day of ministry. And you know what Jesus did the next day? After this long day of ministry, in Mark 1, verse 35, this is what Jesus did. It said, very early in the morning, he got up to go be by himself. He had worked hard the previous day. And so what does he do? He goes and he rests. And the disciples, they're all wondering where he is. I mean, Jesus, you put on a great show yesterday. We got to do it again today. I mean, there's a whole lot of people out there that need ministry. Where are you, Jesus? And so they search for him. They find him. And when they find him, they're like, Jesus, come on back. There's a lot of sick people over there that need to be healing. And you know what Jesus says? He says, let's go somewhere else. What? Jesus, they love you over here. Come back. Keep doing ministry. He says, no, let's go somewhere else. He had worked, and now it's time to stop work. That rhythm of work and rest, work and rest. I'll confess to you, sometimes I'm not very good at stopping from work. But too often, I just want to keep doing work, maybe mentally, but I want to keep doing it. It's hard for me to stop. It's hard for me even to stop at stop signs. I got a ticket the other day for that. And I'm wondering if those two aren't connected. I just want to go, go, go. I've got something else to do, another project to accomplish, something else to finish. I just want to go. I don't want to stop. And God says there's another way of life. There's a rhythm that I want you to live into. What's amazing to me about this whole problem of not being able to stop is that our world's waking up to this problem. Our culture is waking up to the problem that we can't stop work. We just keep going and we keep going and we keep seeing more opportunities and we just can't say no. We think that somehow we're going to harm our children or harm our career if we say no. We can't do it. And so there's a lot of different options being given about how you can solve this problem. Some people say, well, you just need to manage your time better. And you can go to bookstores or online, and you can find a lot of articles. You can find opinion editorials that are all written about how you can manage your time better. Then others say, well, no, that's not what you need to do. You need to find yourself. You need to spend time in meditation and yoga and center yourself. And then you can know how to live without being so busy. Then others say, no, you just need to focus on being healthy. You need to eat healthy. You need to shop organic and local foods and then exercise. And if you do all that, then you'll be more healthy and live a more healthy life, not so frenetic. But I'm convinced, while those things may be helpful, I'm convinced that's not going to solve the problem. Because fundamentally, busyness and workaholism and living at this hurried pace is a theological problem. Can I say that again? Busyness and workaholism and living at a frenetic pace is a theological problem that needs a theological solution. And I think we see that in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He doesn't say, come to this time management workshop. He doesn't say, come read this book. He doesn't say, come spend some time in meditation. He doesn't say, come and exercise. Go for a run with me. He says, come to me. Come to me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We can't rest. We can't say no because we think that we have to rule the world. We think that we have to be the ones in control. We're the ones that have the knowledge to know how to deal with this problem. We're the ones that know how to do this task and do it correctly. We're the ones who need to make sure that our children are being raised correctly and are going to be having fulfilled lives. We're the ones that have to be in control. And the only time that we're going to be able to rest is if we can learn the theological truth that Jesus is trying to teach us here in Matthew 11 when he says, come to me, listen to me, hear me. I am king. I am Lord. I am above all. I'm in control. And when we come to the knowledge of that truth that Jesus is Lord, he's in control of this world. I don't have to solve all the problems. Jesus will help raise my children. He loves them better than I do. Jesus will be the one to fix things that need to be fixed. I'm just a tool in his service. I'm just an instrument that he's using. When I come to that truth, then I can stop and I can say no and I can rest. And I can live into this rhythm of work and rest. Work and rest. I really like how the Message puts it. The Message translation of Matthew 11 is this. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. And I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That's what I want, don't you? I want to learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I want to be present when I'm talking to a friend and not just thinking about what I've got to do next on my to-do list. I want to be open to what opportunities God gives me every day, missional opportunities that he gives me every day. I want to be open to those, not simply rushing around to the next activity. I want to listen to God. I want to listen to him, not be drowned out by the noise of my busyness. I want to be purposeful and focused and draw out of every activity what God has put into it. I want to spend time with God and nourished by his presence. I want to live my life not from the false self of ambition and performance and trying to be a people pleaser. I want to live my life out of the true self of being beloved by God. The unforced rhythm of grace where I work and then I rest. That's the life that God calls us to. And it's because of these reasons that in 2006, when I came to Southside, I asked the elders that if they would be so gracious that after 7 years of ministry work, that they would allow me some time to rest. Give me 3 months as a sabbatical to rest. And graciously, they've agreed to that. Now, I want everyone to be clear on what's happening with this sabbatical. It's not that I'm mad at the elders, but the elders are mad at me. It's not that I'm going to be looking for a new job during this sabbatical. That's not the case at all. This was a plan from the very beginning, because we want to model here at Southside, we want to model living into this God-created rhythm of work and rest. Now, I want to help you understand what a sabbatical is. Sabbatical doesn't mean that you're going to go on vacation. Someone came up to me last week and said, I hope you enjoy your time in Hawaii. I'm not going to Hawaii. That would be nice, but I'm not. The word sabbatical carries the idea of release. Release. It means that you're released from your daily, normal ministry duties and allowed time and space to be with God, to rest, to be recharged, and to renew your creative energies. That's what a sabbatical is. And that's the way I'm going to treat it. So I'm going to step away from my normal daily ministry routine, and I'm going to, number one, spend time with God and just try to listen to Him. Number two, I'm going to spend time with my family and try to really cultivate my family. And then number three, I'm going to do some work on my dissertation. I'm going to try to do some learning in the process. And I think this is going to be very healthy, not only for me. I think it's going to be healthy for you guys. You're going to be able to hear some fresh voices, and the elders have a great plan of preaching and teaching that's going to happen this summer, and it's going to be very nourishing to all of you, and I hope you'll be here to be a part of that. But also, it's going to give you a chance to step up. Some of you are going to step up into some other roles, covering maybe for me or covering for someone else who's covering for me, and it's going to give you a chance to use your gifts to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll come up to an elder maybe today or sometime this summer and say, hey, whatever you need me to do to help take over or to cover for what Steve used to do, let me do it. What a great opportunity for us to step up as the body of Christ. But I think another reason why this sabbatical is going to be great, it's going to teach us something. It's going to teach me something. It's going to teach us who really is the Lord of our church. It's not me, it's not the elders, it's not the other ministers, not the deacons. Do you know who really is the king of our church? Jesus Christ. And if he is the leader of our church, if his spirit dwells within us, that's who we need. That's who we need to rely on, not the preacher, not the elders. We need to rely on God. And whenever I take this sabbatical and I step back, it's going to be a challenging time for me to rely on God to take care of this body of believers. And it's also going to be a challenging time for you to step back and say, we don't have a preacher. And there's some people who think, oh, we don't have a preacher. What's going to happen? God is going to take care of it. God's in charge. I think the second thing that we'll learn is an interdependence on one another. Sometimes, as I mentioned, churches can become too dependent on their preacher. And that's not healthy for the preacher, and that's not healthy for the church. And I think having this sabbatical will remind us that we are dependent on one another. God first, and then one another second. And that we all have been gifted by God's Spirit to bless this body. We're not relying on one person or a group of people. We're relying on one another as the body of Christ. And hopefully, at the end of this 3 months, when it's all done, you'll be ready for me to be back, and I'll be ready to be back. And we'll say, this was really good. Why? Because we lived into the rhythm, the unforced rhythm of grace, where we work and then we rest. And I want to say that maybe this is an opportunity to be a witness. I mentioned earlier that our world is waking up to this problem of just living too busy and frenetic pace of a life. I recently was watching a TED Talk, and there was this New York designer, famous New York designer, who was sharing his business plan. And he said that what he does in his business is that he works as a designer for 7 years, and then after 7 years, he takes a year off. Now, that'd be nice. Let's just stretch this out to 12 months, eh? Takes a whole year off. And he said he realized that after 7 years of creating and designing and doing all the work of being a designer, he needed a break. He needed time to reflect on his work. He needed time for creativity to cultivate within himself. And what he found out after doing this through two cycles, working 7 years off 1 year, 7 years off 1 year, after two cycles, it actually was more financially beneficial for his job. Because when he came back after that year, he was more creative, he had new ideas, and those ideas stretched out over the 7 years. He could charge higher prices because they were better ideas, and he made more money. So our world's waking up to this idea that we need to live into this rhythm of work and rest. And could this be a moment where we as Christians could be a witness collectively as a church, but also individually in your families, to live into this rhythm of work and rest so that when you're around your friends or when you're around your neighbors and they're living busy, crazy, hurried lives, they see you, they see that you're at peace, they see that you're filled with purpose, they see that you're focused, and they say, I want that. And you can explain. It starts by understanding that Jesus is Lord. Because he said, come to me, and I will give you rest. Now, I know there are some of us here this morning that maybe the words I've said have tinged your heart a little bit. Because you know you live a busy, busy life. And you're almost filled with guilt over that. I don't want you to feel guilty, but maybe God is calling you to rethink the way you live. Maybe you need to walk to one of our elders during our invitation time and say, pray for me because I need to learn this rhythm, this unforced rhythm of grace. I need to learn how to stop work and to rest in God's control. I encourage you to do that, to walk to one of our elders during our invitation song and just say, pray for me because I want to be a witness to the world about how to truly live. Or maybe you're ready to become a Christian, to be baptized into Christ. Repent of your sins and be baptized, have your sins washed away. We'd love to welcome you into God's family. You can just come to the front as we sing. Let's stand and let's sing at this time.